This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The Charlottesville Planning Commission has endorsed a new master plan for the city's Azalea Park. The park, which is located in the southwest corner of Charlottesville on Old Lynchburg Road, will be the next in a series of city parks to get a makeover. The action came at the commission's meeeting on Tuesday, May 11, 2010. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording of the meeting begins with Brian Daly, director of the Charlottesville Parks and Recreation Department.
Good evening. The draft master plan for Azalea Park is on the wall behind you. We've come to this point after numerous public meetings walking through our park master planning process. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board adopted the draft master plan unanimously at their meeting in April, and the master planning process that council has approved last year calls for the document to then come to the Planning Commission for approval and then forwarding on to City Council for formal adoption. At that point, I'm going to turn it over to Chris Gensick, our park and trail planner.
Good evening, everybody. Again, with what Brian said, we've been going through a good public process with this plan. According to the recently adopted master planning process for parks, we've been very happy with the level of work that the Fire Spring neighborhood has done, collecting input from the neighbors, taking surveys, having this at every one of their meetings for the past year. We've really had a good rapport with them. And I'll just quickly summarize the basic themes of what's going on in the park and then leave it to you for discussion. What we wanted to do with this park after hearing from the neighbors and looking at things in our needs assessment is improve the park without necessarily changing its scale or its general feel. We wanted to make sure that we created a secure park and that we did things that we can maintain over time. And we think we've accomplished that through the redesign of the park. Basically, everything in the park, we went through a question of, well, what do you want in the park? And it was, well, everything that's already there and possibly this new bike pump track thing. So after going through that and looking at design in terms of where things were located, everything that's in the park now remains in the park with the exception of a set of volleyball nets that we're not sure the last time anybody ever put nets on and used it. And it did not come up as a recommendation that people cared either way whether they stayed or went. So those are not included in the plan currently. But we did realign and group some things. For example, the playground is currently in what's called the back of the park, which is the eastern side. We've moved that over to the western side, where it can now be near the baseball fields, the concession area, and the proposed restroom. That way a family with people doing multiple things can do them all within sight of each other, particularly if you have children doing two activities at one time. The dog park moved around towards the back of the park, and the community garden stayed where they are. There's a lot of investment in that soil as it is. We didn't want to really move those around and force people to redo things too much. I think one of the bigger things we did was we took the parking area from the back and moved it to where you can't really hide behind that hill. What we noticed was a feeling of uncomfortableness without we're aware of reports of anything happening, but there would be people taking a lunch break, maybe hiding from their boss, asleep in a car, while there was, you know, one person with one child at the playground, and they just felt uncomfortable that what's this person doing back here? No one else can see me. So the idea of putting the dog park back there and pulling the parking areas away is that if you're there with your dog, generally there's a lot of other people there with their dogs, and you have a dog, and that kind of changes the security feel when it's you and a child versus you and a dog, and there's someone that you're just not sure of. So that's kind of the reasoning for doing that. Otherwise, the basketball courts also moved to the front. They were an area people were kind of gathering in. And we've moved the gate, or we're going to change the gate to an automatic locking gate and see. This is a test run here to see how that works with a timer, because it is a hard park to get to. It's in the corner of a city where the police don't always get to. So we're going to look at an automatic gate to help with the security issue as well. Generally, otherwise, the trails coming into the park improve. We've retained an awful lot of natural area. And the Morse Creek was very important to the people with wildlife habitat. And as far as the bike issue goes, we have full neighborhood support to put this bicycle pump track in, which is something for mostly teenagers and young adults. somewhat like an old BMX track, but it's not something you really jump in the air on. It's more like a roller coaster. Going through this process, we tried to include that in this plan, and that's still acceptable to the community and the bike community. We had an event come up where, if you have been to Riverview Park recently, Dominion did a major clear cut of their power line there, and we're considering that the land under those power lines probably shouldn't go back into forest because it's just going to get cut again in 10 years. So we are in current conversations with the bicycle community, and we will start talking with Woolen Mills in the Riverview Park area. Should they decide that Riverview is just as acceptable, we think probably leaving that open space at Azalea may be a better use at Azalea if Riverview can accommodate the bicycle pump track use, which we're fully in favor of. We just want to make sure we don't build it here and turn out that Riverview maybe was a better location. So because that came up mid-plan, we left that as an optional open space and or bike thing so that the plan can be approved. We can have this conversation with the bigger community and answer that question and still locate it here if that's going to be the answer, but move it if that comes out that way. I think that's a pretty good summary. We'd also like to thank Land Planning and Design. One thing we did was we managed all the community input and planning process here, and we hired the design firm once we had some designs to put on paper so that we were kind of in charge of the community process, and we brought the consultant in to really just do graphic work, but they were also very helpful in helping us chew on design issues as we went through it. So with that, I'll put it to you for discussion and questions, and we would again like to see this adopted and moved forward to council.
Questions?
That possible open space, we had gotten a note about some issues that somebody raised, and they were talking about rectangle fields. I mean, is that something that could fit into that space if that was not the pump track?
It wouldn't be a programmable, full-sided field, and depending on where you planted trees or the trees that are currently there, you could do pickup there, and that was our thought. You can toss a frisbee, kick a ball with your kid, but you're probably not going to do full-sided regulation-size field in a park of this size. And the softball community was, they really liked that field being there, so... Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, I'm reminded of a conversation that Ms. Keller inaugurated maybe half a year ago or so to talk about the need to rethink the size, the dimensions of urban active use fields. We've talked about that in parks and rec in the committee as well. And I would suggest that might be an opportunity to look into a smaller scale field that suits a sort of pickup style or pickup style dimension that can then be ported, that idea can then perhaps as a test or project that can be ported to other sort of pocket-sized parks in town. I'm thinking of mini soccer fields, mini volleyball fields, that kind of thing, that are much more urban in scale. I'd love to see that, if possible, incorporated into this plan as it moves forward.
I think, again, we could look at tree planting. If we're adding trees in there that narrow that area down, maybe we can push them to the fringes and create something more like that. I can't remember which of those trees are there now and which of those are additional part of the plan, but there is a pretty big open area back there now. I think we could look into that.
Great.
If I might just add to that, the kind of the nomenclature of master planning, the open recreation area and or what it could be called an open play area, can be of any size or shape or form and would serve exactly those functions that you're describing.
Yeah. I guess what I'm suggesting is something that's actually got some sort of definition, perhaps fence to keep a ball in play, that is a mini kind of playing court. It doesn't have to be grass. In fact, it's probably better if it's not grass because you can't keep grass up. If it's some sort of hard, true surface, some sort of hard-packed dirt or something like that, that can be maintained, doesn't need much maintenance, but can be played on all day. That's kind of the thing that I'd love to see experimented here if that opportunity presents itself.
Thanks for bringing that up, because I think there's a real need for that in the community. In my experience, I know my sons in their 20s, they no longer play on teams or live in Charlottesville all the time, but when they're here, they like to go out with some friends and find a small space and that not compete with the fields that are designated for practices and scheduled games. And and I know a lot of their contemporaries that, that live and work in town are looking for those spaces, and I'm concerned about what happens when the sort of, they call it, I guess they call it the cage there by the skate park, when that's closed, where will the young men who play there find find an alternative space?
Any questions?
I do have another. It's just, it has really not so much to do with the park, but just with, I know that Old Lynchburg Road is going to be reworked in the not-too-distant future, we hope. And just wondering how, there had been discussions in the past, and I don't know if they've had them again, about, you know, the way that road goes and how it ties into Azalea Park and everything. And I wonder if that's come up at all, especially in terms of, you know, bicyclists coming up and down Old Lynchburg Road and, you know, access in there and just, you know, the sight lines and all going in and out of Azalea Park, considering how traffic comes in. Does that play into any of this at all? Well, did, you know, the coordination between the renovate, you know, the redesign of Old Lynchburg Road and the redesign as you're redesigning the park as far as the entrance into the park.
Well, what we kind of tried to do is make a take the conscious decision that, you know, the process that has already been gone through for the improvements to Old Lynchburg Road and the ingress egress access issues to Azalea Park, you know, that's already been vetted and the community's waited on that should stand on its own. And that if you sort of look on the drawing, you see the kind of the hashed line that became the area where we would do our planning. So just to the west of that and those entrances, it's the Old Lynchburg Road plan would, if you kind of set it on top of this, is what we would ultimately see.
And part of the improvements to the trails that go up into the spurs to Azalea Drive and to Monta Vista is to provide that bicycle pedestrian access, possibly even earlier than when Old Lynchburg gets built, using the park as a public space that you can move up through that area, at least to get you back to the four-way stop at Middleton there. So.
Where the trail that connects up to Monta Vista that's labeled RTF Trail, and the trail that's just labeled Trail that connects up to Azalea Drive, what is the anticipated surface of those trails?
The trail up to Monta Vista is currently being worked on through the drainage program. The upper surface of that will be hard surfaced in probably asphalt, something like a 6 foot wide. Not necessarily as wide as the Riverview Trail, but something, you know, wider than is there now. And depending on how we can deal with the drainage, both of these are drainage sheds as well. If we can get that drainage to stay in a swale, we may not need to hard surface the entire trail. But right now, the gravel from those trails is washing down into the creeks, and we'd rather pave than continue to fight that erosion over time. So harder than what's there now, the idea being open in all seasons and all use, and as we watch what the water does, most likely they'll end up being paved.
I will say that while generally I'm not in favor of hardscape over pervious surface, in a situation like this, I'm all for a paved trail because it provides a bicycle linkage, an off-road bicycle linkage that doesn't require a mountain bike. You could use any. You can use a street bike or a commuting bike on a 4 or 6 foot asphalt trail, but I won't commute across a gravel trail. But that's a commuting link as soon as it's paved. So,
and the trail along the creek remains a nature trail, so you get both options within the same park.
So, and would the trail, the connection to Azalea, would also be paved, or no?
I mean, we've done more design work to Monta Vista, but looking at the conditions in each case. More than likely.
What's the condition of the creek banks on the park side of Moores Creek? Are they natural or eroded? I'm sorry, I don't know the details along this long length of Moores Creek.
That was one of the first creek restorations we did in the city, I think in year 2000-ish. In the central part of the park where it's perfectly curved, that's the part that was restored. Heading out to Old Lynchburg has not been restored, and from the last curve down to where that proposed bridge is has not been restored. So it's probably about 50-50, and we've had the Environmental Department come out and look at some of those banks where There are some issues with the work that was done, or that's 10 years out now, and there's some bank issues that we're going to be looking at. But it's, I guess, 50-50 between in good shape and could need some attention kind of shape.
Does the master plan need to, or does it already, just not labeled on this drawing, incorporate any kind of future restoration of the remainder of the creek bank?
It currently does not. The master plan really is a guidance document for kind of land management decisions. It would certainly not preclude us in any way from doing future stream restoration. We have done, over the past several years, some things in just in our maintenance practices to eliminate and kind of slow down stream bank erosion throughout the city. But in this case, here at Azalea in particular, we established a no-mow zone probably 30 to 40 feet from the stream bank itself about 3 or 4 years ago and allowing that area to revegetate. We have had some issues with beaver in this park, the next time we have a beaver issue, we're going to try to insert a beaver baffle in the lodge, which is nothing more than a fancy word of saying a big pipe that goes through the lodge that allows water to move through, and so that doesn't create a dam behind it, and it fools the beaver. They stay at home. They don't. If you break their dam, they leave and go cut down more trees. So it's one method of dealing with wildlife conflict.
My thought was that, I like what I see on paper. Some time ago, we had a discussion related to a piece of property, and Mr. Emery brought up the idea that we would try to have some off-site mitigation of stream degradation in one part of the city and offset by identifying places within the city's property that could be restored. And so we're going to have a discussion about the mitigation exchange idea that's on our work plan in a few weeks, and whether or not having a master plan for a park that identified some areas unfunded or whatever that could be restored might provide some leverage for future swapping around of having private people come in and restore the stream instead of having it, you know, go off your budget.
Kind of available shopping list of available mitigation opportunities.
If the master plan at least identified 50% of this creek that had that potential, we would have some city sanctioned document that has it where we could point to it. Doesn't cost you anything to put a note on the drawing. Mm-hmm. Not telling you what to do. Or asking, I guess.
No questions?
Mr. Kinzig, I might have missed it, but does the draft master plan address the lighting for the dog park?
We didn't put it in the graphic, but it's in the text. So there's no picture that says put lights here, but lighting for the park is part of the plan.
Parks and Rec's recommendation on that. I missed it when I was reading through.
That is something that depends on what time of the year it is.
Uh-huh.
In the summer, you know, when the days are longer, the park technically closes by code at 9 p.m. When the days are longer, you can be in there at 9 o'clock and it's still daylight.
Right.
When it's, you know, days are shorter, it gets dark for 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. The park is technically still open. That's a whole other discussion. We did not show lights on the dog park on the rendering, but we did mention that it is a possibility, and that's included in the narrative.
That's sort of a separate issue and a overall neighborhood parks issue.
Well, I think it is it is a larger issue, but it's also a master planning one. I think it's important that if you're going to light a recreational facility that you state that you're going to light it at some mm-hmm. time in the future. That's particularly important for athletic fields and tennis courts and those sorts of things.
Right.
I'm not sure personally, professionally, that it's the best idea.
I mean, if you're looking for input, I'd really like to just weigh in that I think lighting the dog park is a terrible idea. So that's my suggestion. I love the plans in general, but the idea of having those lights back there backing up to houses, I just don't like the precedent.
I have concern about that too. I think there were letters from some of the neighbors expressing a concern about that.
Mm-hmm. There were some in support and some opposed.
How did the neighborhood association feel about the lights there?
Those were the folks.
It was pretty much split. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And part of that was the security issue, that if it's dark at 6 and the dog people aren't there, then the wrong people are back there from 6 till whenever someone comes and tells them to leave.
So part of it was,
they were very specific to the dog park. Mm-hmm. If you could just light the dog park, we would stay until 8:30, 8:45, particularly in the wintertime. I get off work at 5:30. By the time I get home, I can't take the dog anywhere. So part of that was that, hey, we would want those people back here with the lights on, because that would be yet another level of the wrong people don't want to be there anymore. So that was kind of the balance of the conversation. But definitely they said shielded very well, aimed on the dog park, not just flowing all over the park and into the neighborhood. So.
I'm just trying to think, like at Riverview or the hours operation, dawn to dusk or something like that?
With the exception of the downtown parks, Lee, McGuffey, and Jackson, all of the parks are open from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what the code currently reads. There's an exception for lighted facilities within parks, tennis courts, athletic fields, and those go to, I believe it's 10 o'clock. It might be, you know, worth a conversation in the future about adjusting the code to park hours being from dawn to dusk. Mm-hmm. It's very simple to measure.
Mm-hmm. And the bathrooms, they're like porta-johns, like the Riverview one, or fancier?
No, the where the restrooms are shown on the plan, that building exists today. It was built many, many years ago. I'm not sure who built it. It might have been the Lions Club or Kiwanis Club, a local organization. Right now it houses storage for the girls' softball program that plays here, and it serves also as their concession stand. But water and electricity are to the building, mm-hmm. So we felt that it could be reused for a restroom structure.
It is currently served only by Porter Jones.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, I'm using your plan to answer some questions that are maybe more broad than your plan itself, but on the paved trails that snake their way up into Monta Vista and such, do you have a sense, I realize this is a master plan, how many of those run across steep slopes or critical slopes?
I don't know that. It seems to be like a 10 percentage. I mean, it's a pretty reasonable slope. I think it's the cross flow of water that's causing the drainage issues. I would have to check, but I don't think a lot of it's significantly steep as much as it is. In some cases, it's where the curbing ends. And it just happens to be that all the water from upstream is going in that. And in those cases, we're going to put a drop inlet and intercept that.
You're following a contour, but on either end, kind of riding it around back up to the street.
You're sort of following the drainage, so you are at that reasonable grade. You're not coming. There's a point like at the curve coming off of Azalea. Right. It does kind of drop pretty quickly in that curve.
But you can see the contours on this drawing.
Yeah, are they?
It would be something we would definitely consider in construction, but that's a good question. Off the top of my head, it's less than 25% of the length of those trails.
Of all the trails.
Yeah.
And I believe these are 2-foot contours.
And critical starts at 15, right, or 25%?
25%.
25, yeah, so that would probably narrow it down even further.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? The only action that we need is to simply approve this master plan. So.
Did you all have the need the motion in a specific way?
Just that the Planning Commission would adopt the draft master plan and send it on to City Council for their consideration and adoption.
Okay, so they're providing a recommendation to City Council.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I will just make one more comment. This master planning process was the first park master plan that we've conducted using the adopted process that council adopted last spring. And having personally been through probably 75 park master plans in my career, this went very, very smoothly. The process really, really worked well. It was very inclusive. think we had ultimately five public meetings on this, just this one topic, and people were very, very engaged, and the process worked very well.
Mr. Bennett, I've got one other question for you. Where are we on this thing? I'm just bottom. Which square are we on?
Right to the left.
This one.
Huh? Where is that? The
that's adopted by City Council.
It's the step correctly directly before that.
Okay.
For planning
final
commission.
Part master plan adopted by Park Rec. So the planning commission is not really written in there.
It is. It is written in it. You have an earlier version.
Because when I thought I'd seen one with the planning commission written in. I was going, where are we?
When we took this to City Council initially, they asked that this step be inserted in the process between the advisory board's consideration and adoption and their adoption. And so we adjusted that, and that's where we are.
Thank you.
Since this is a new process and this is a master plan, once it's approved by council, how much leeway do you have to deviate from the master plan?
Well, the notion is that the master plan intentionally not be precise.
Right.
That there is leeway within the master plan to do design work that's a little more precise. But it should be a real guiding document about how the land is going to be used, and that we should live up to that. And that in that sense, it carries a tremendous amount of weight.
Yeah, I wouldn't envision we would alter any uses, but you may have to shift the ball field 20 feet to the left because you find out something about soil, that kind of stuff is
right.
Not written in stone. So, but we wouldn't add a pool. You know,
correct. And, for example, the way the playground is drawn, there's some play equipment shown on the drawing. That's just a representation. It's not precisely how the playground may ultimately be built. It would be in that location, but there's certain safety zones and stuff that have to be considered when you're building playgrounds.
So if we wanted to see some small playing fields added, is that something then that we should be noting here because they're not a use that we see now?
I think what we will do is take those comments and build them into the narrative document so that it is captured on the record, and that would be in the document that would go to council for their final approval. And that would give us the leeway to, within the open play area or perhaps on the basketball court down the road, maybe there we find that the usage patterns for are such that we don't need two basketball courts and they could be restriped for it in another manner.
Would that help to, if that were part of our recommendation to council?
That's what I was wondering.
Well, that's our latitude. I mean, whoever crafts the motion, if you have the opportunity in the motion to state whatever additional comments you feel should go to council, then we'll vote on that.
Well, I'm ready with the motion.
Move that we recommend approval of the master plan as presented, along with the recommendation that if there's a potential to find usage for a small urban scale playing court, that park staff look into potential inclusion of that as well.
Second.
Further discussion?
I'd just like to say that I'm very pleased that we have the opportunity to review these because we didn't in the past. And I wasn't aware that we were actually approving them. I thought this was just an FYI. So I'm very appreciative of that opportunity. And this is a park that my family used to use a lot. And I think it's a very sensitive reworking, and it makes a lot of sense to general reorganization and just upgrade of the park. So I think it's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ditto those comments. Thank you for all your work you did getting us this far.
Further discussion? Ms. Creasy, could you call the question, please?
Mr. Emery?
Aye.
Mr. Sentowski?
Aye.
Ms. Keller?
Aye.
Mr. Rosenthal?
Aye.
Mr. Kiesecker?
Aye.
And Mr. Pearson?
Aye. Nice work. We will now turn to a discussion of
critical slopes.
Keep it quick.